time for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. He's the editor and publisher of The Timberjay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Thanks for being here, Marshall.
Happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, let's start our conversation today with a story you've been covering about the State of the Band speech. That's the Boys Fort Band. There's a new person there at the helm. Who is it? What happened?
Yeah, it's Tribal Chair Kathy Chavers. She won election about middle of last year, and she took office facing a lot of issues, particularly financial issues. A lot of problems had kind of built up over a period of years. Some, you know, business acquisitions that didn't go as planned, some business startups as well, where the band had put a lot of money into various projects and they didn't go well, and now they're kind of dealing with the aftermath of that. And in her State of the Band speech, which she gave last week, she really, you know, delved into those issues far more in depth than what we've seen in the past and offered a pretty sober assessment, I guess, of kind of where things are at financially. You know, and people have been seeing the effects, been impacting some of the social services that they've been able to offer over the last year, and they're having to get a little stricter about some things. The tribal council also, they did opt to cut their salaries by 8.5%. And the band is also trying to sell WELY, that's the radio station in Ely that they had purchased a few years ago, and that's been one of those businesses that hasn't prospered, you know, quite to the degree that they had hoped. So a lot of things are being addressed, I think, at this point. They're really trying to watch their spending. They said that the gaming revenues at Fortune Bay have been, you know, kind of dipping down a little bit. You know, there's a lot of competition, obviously, in that whole sector. They say the facility also needs some upgrades, so they're looking for the means to fund some of those things. You know, you always have to be constantly improving what you've got in order to, you know, continue to compete. And they know they're up against some, what they call the big boys, you know, the Mystic Lakes and the Black Bears, places like that that draw just so many people. And the Fortune Bay Casino, it's a beautiful facility on Lake Vermilion, but it's a lot further from population centers than some of these other large facilities. So they have to work extra hard to get people to make the extra trip. So that's always a challenge. She also talked about some other things, too. She said they really need to do a lot more to preserve and teach their language. As of this year, she said they only have 3 fluent speakers left on the Boys Fort Reservation, fluent speakers of the Ojibwe language. So, you know, that's obviously a concern. And they're hoping to do more to spread the language out to band members. They're doing work through their radio station at Lake, and they're also using a smartphone app to help teach Ojibwe to folks. So hopefully they'll see some progress there. She did have some good news. The tribe has received $6 million in funding for some new housing on the reservation. An Indian-owned contractor will be working on that project. And then there's just some number of other grants that they've received on a number of different projects. So there'll be, you know, continued new construction and some of the jobs associated with that for the foreseeable future while they try to get some of their other financial issues addressed.
All right, we'll move on to another story you've been covering. We seem to talk every week about copper nickel mining. Something new coming out of the U.S. Forest Service, this time about the withdrawal of their study. Can you explain it?
Yeah, right. Well, about a year or so ago, remember we were talking about a proposal that came out of the last weeks of the Obama administration, a proposal to withdraw about 234,000 acres of the Superior National Forest from the federal mineral leasing program. And as part of that, the Forest Service and the Department of Interior, the Bureau of Land Management, had commissioned a study. It was going to be an environmental impact study that was going to basically look at whether or not that area, you know, tucked up right against the boundary waters, within the boundary waters watershed, was a good area to be, you know, mining copper, rather than, you know, having a company spend time, you know, developing a resource and going through an environmental review process, you know, such as Twin Metals, which has been looking at that area. They decided it'd be better to, you know, step back and do a broader assessment and see whether or not it made sense to even do any kind of copper nickel mining there. And that's what I think a lot of folks were hoping to see, was a fairly in-depth study that would provide a lot of information that could perhaps help have some influence on this ongoing debate. You know, a place like Ely, which is kind of right on the edge of this area we're talking about, there's a lot of division there between, you know, the pro and the anti-mining side. And I know I was hopeful, and a lot of people were, that, you know, that maybe with some more information, we could have a little more informed debate rather than kind of more of an emotional one, which sometimes these things, descend into. So a little bit of disappointment, I guess, that the Forest Service has decided now that they're going to withdraw that proposal to do a study of that. They're going to do an environmental assessment instead of an EIS. And an EA is just a much shorter version of an EIS, and it's not going to look at the same issues at all. So my guess is this will just be kind of a perfunctory thing that they'll go through the process, and then I would say right now this is setting it up almost certainly for a decision a year from now by the Trump administration that they will not do this mineral withdrawal in the Superior National Forest. I would say that's probably a safe bet, but you never know for sure. But certainly it looks like they're poised to renew two federal mineral leases in that area, which are critical for the Twin Metals copper nickel mine proposal to continue to move forward. So we're expecting that decision to come out fairly soon.
Marshall, later this morning we're going to be talking with Molly from the Ely Folkskill. She'll tell us about some of the things they have going on, but this is a big day in Ely, isn't it?
Well, it sure is. In fact, it's a big 10 days coming up. Today's the first day, of course, of the Winter Festival in Ely. And this is a big deal in Ely. This is definitely the highlight of winter up at the end of the road. Of course, folks have come up there for years for snow sculptures, Whiteside Park. Those are always very popular. And then, of course, another thing that's become really popular in recent years is the Art Walk, art from dozens of area artists that's displayed in the windows and stores across the community there of Ely. And so folks can, you know, bundle up and walk around and see all the art out there. A lot to see, obviously, this weekend up there. And I should mention, too, it's the 25th anniversary this year of the Winter Festival, so that's kind of a big milestone.
All right, Marshall, before we go, you've been covering a story about gray foxes. Now, that's not something you usually see in your area, is it?
Well, it certainly isn't, but we've been getting lots and lots of reports of gray foxes and photographs as well. People have been seeing them showing up kind of around their feeders, you know, usually looking for a few scraps to eat this time of year. It's unusual because this is a species that is generally not been found, you know, in kind of the North Country. They're more of a southerly species. You know, they were found in southern Minnesota and maybe the far western part of Minnesota, kind of on the edge of the prairie, but not up in this neck of the woods. So this is different, and it's, you know, kind of part of a trend that we're seeing with a lot of different wildlife species. I mean, raccoons used to not really be found here. Of course, they've moved in, and we're even starting to get things like wild turkeys. There was even a possum that was found over by Ely here not long ago living. So, you know, we're seeing this kind of influx of all these more southerly species, and I think the gray fox is probably just, you know, part of that overall trend. I have to say, though, even though it's sort of maybe not a native to our particular area, it certainly is a beautiful animal. I mean, the coloration on a gray fox is really dramatic. And, you know, it's an interesting species. It's not very closely related to the red fox, which might surprise people. It's also the only fox in North America that can climb trees. In fact, there's only other one canine in the entire world, the raccoon dog, which is found in Asia, which can climb trees. So the gray fox is clearly a bit of an oddity among canines. And so we're just kind of, you know, reporting on the fact that it's here and a little bit about its natural history. Folks can maybe be on the lookout as they're out and about.
So they should look up as well as down for those gray foxes? So they're in
That's
the trees?
That's yeah.
Wow. Yep. Huh. They must stand out quite a bit with all the snow we have.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. They're beautiful against the snow.
Huh. It's Marshall Helmberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can read and see more at timberjay.com. Have a great weekend. We'll check in next week, Marshall.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.